Hi everyone, welcome back to TTT, the Talking Transport Transformation podcast, brought to you by TUI, the Transformative Urban Mobility Initiative. In today's episode, we will have a look at the ongoing African Mobility Month, which is a campaign to promote sustainable mobility in African cities. The African Mobility Month 2020 is running from September 18 to October 18. To get some deeper insights into the initiative, we invited Jehan Biku from the city network ICLE, short for Local Governments for Sustainability, and Kirsten Wilkins, Managing Director from the citizen-driven initiative Open Streets Cape Town. My colleague Lena is going to have a chat with both of them about mobility behaviors in African cities, the importance of different mobility choices, and the effects of COVID-19 on the mobility system as a whole. We are very glad now to hear from the three of you. Over to you, Lena.
So today we're having a really exciting discussion about something happening right now on the African continent, but also beyond. We're talking about the African Mobility Month. It's a campaign, and I have two of the women who are at the forefront of implementing it with me today. So Jehan, tell us a bit about African Mobility Month. Where did the idea come from? You know, what is the focus of that campaign? And what are some of the things we're doing during this month?
So African Mobility Month is a month-long social media campaign, and it started in 2019. It is a way to advocate for people-centered, inclusive, sustainable mobility in our African cities. And in 2019, the initial theme for it was around active mobility and walking and cycling, and to really promote this sort of mode of transport as a viable means of mobility in cities. So it was there to promote the importance of it and to play and the role that it plays in creating equitable and livable cities, as well as to encourage cities to include these modes of transport planning, these modes in their transport planning, and to also allocate the necessary resources and funding towards it. I think since last year, since 2019, we've pivoted quite a lot, and we have opened the scope quite a lot. And I think we've taken our cues from the current situation, from the COVID pandemic, that really showed us how, you know, different modes of transport and how mobility is playing out in African cities. So we've extended the campaign quite a lot, and we've included a diverse range of themes and topics which aim to reimagine and rethink mobility in African cities now and in the future. So what is the current situation teaching us, and how should we respond? How are we responding to enable equitable cities and mobility systems in our cities that place people, health, and well-being at its core? So I think the aim is really to provide the opportunity to discuss key challenges, to celebrate cities who are driving sustainable mobility solutions, as well as to bring different stakeholders into the conversation, civil society, mobility activists, citizens, to bring people together and sort of to drive a community of practice around mobility in sustainable cities. And so the way that we're doing this is to encourage cities to plan events around walking and cycling by either having a cycling event or car-free days, but to also provide people the opportunity to provide resources on different topics, to have virtual events where key discussions are being brought to the fore, and to really just take this month to think about it, to recuperate, to see what the next steps forward is going forward. So I think that's the aim of African Mobility Month.
What I really like about the idea of having this campaign, African Mobility Month, is that it sort of hinges already at the impression that there's some aspects of mobility in African cities who are overlooked. So by creating this campaign and showcasing a lot of the activities and progress on the ground, you're also giving more room for discussing mobility in cities. So I would be interested to understand more, what do you think cities still tend to overlook, maybe if it comes to walking and cycling, or even some of the other focus themes that you just mentioned of this year's campaign, and how can, you know, more visibility help to shift the attention to those topics?
So I think the aim of this as well is to show that, you know, there are various ways in which people move in their cities. And I think it's also, so there's different modes, there's different options, or there's different modes of way, the way in which people move. But there's also the element of mobility is always seen as hard infrastructure. It's always seen as construction and implementation, whereas there's other aspect to mobility as well. The role that it plays in quality of life, in healthy cities, healthy people, well-being, mental health of people, how mobility connects cities, the value that it drives in community and togetherness, how it supports people's economic and social prosperity. And mobility really does play a role in all of this and forms part of an integrated system and cannot just be measured in terms of infrastructure or built environment, but also in terms of inclusivity, how we include the most vulnerable people, how do we include accessibility, road safety, so all these different topics. And I think it's really sort of bringing all of those different elements, the very multifaceted mobility and what it really means for cities, and really bringing that out, asking the hard questions, grappling with these. How do we create dialogue and conversation around this? And I think it's walking and cycling, but it's also looking at informality and informal transport. It's looking at bus systems and rail, so there's different modes. And then how this also connects to city planning, to land use. It's so diverse, and we have to understand mobility in its diversity to really design and create and implement sustainable solutions.
Right. So when you say inclusivity and also the issue of health in mobility and transport, I tend to quite quickly think of active mobility. And I think that too brings us to Kirsten and Open Streets, who are one of the major partners in this campaign. Kirsten, I'd be interested in understanding your view on African Mobility Month and maybe the role of active mobility, so walking and cycling, in African cities.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having Open Streets be a part of this dialogue today. I think active mobility for me is sometimes a bit of a problematic term, because I think that whether people are self-powered, through pedals or feet or, regardless of how they move, I think the important question for me is around choice of the way that we move. And people have the choice to self-power. And when it comes to not being able to make decisions around hard infrastructure like public transport and covering long distances, that's where I think really government has a role to play in ensuring that people have the maximum amount of choice for people to live their best lives. And so as mobility activists and people involved in city and town planning, we can do the best that we can do to give people choices and to develop kind of empathic understandings and dialogues around how it is that we can do the most we can to make walking and cycling infrastructure better is great. But I think what African Mobility Month does is it connects those two things. It connects the decisions we can make as citizens about how we move, either walking or cycling, and the 20-year plans, the strategic thinking that governments are having to do around providing the rest of that suite of choices. And this platform can really help to connect those conversations and importantly connect the people making those decisions to build empathy across that divide. I think there's a huge amount of pressure on governments to provide infrastructure under huge financial constraints. And I think the more as citizens we understand how those planning processes work, I think the more we can engage in them. And similarly, I think that 20-year plans are fine, but people are walking today. And I think that government and decision makers who are involved in strategic planning have a great opportunity with African Mobility Month to understand that it's day-to-day movement activities and patterns of people, so it can shape those 20-year plans around how it is that the city is investing in harder infrastructure and more long-term public transport solutions. So the idea of platform is very important for us as Open Streets in the work we do. But I think African Mobility Month is really a platform in and of itself. We can only create so many experiences and events digitally as a team. But what I've really enjoyed seeing is people taking hold of that hashtag, African Mobility Month, creating something, initiating something, and drawing us into their conversations. And I really think that the power of social media in this situation is exactly that. It allows the transfer of the narrative and the themes to the people who are most going to benefit from innovative solutions. So when somebody calls me up and they say, hey, we're doing a bike ride, do you want to join us? We're doing it for African Mobility Month. Then as one of the kind of organizing partners, I really feel like we're doing well because we've transferred the ownership of this platform to be inclusive of whatever somebody wants to speak or listen to when it comes to shaping our cities and the way that we move.
So you're really describing this type of spark that kind of goes from one to the other in terms of, you know, bringing everyone on board. And I think that's also, this intention is also highlighted in your comment to say mobility is a lot about choice so that everyone can find that mobility form that suits him or her needs in a particular situation. So because this year's African Mobility Month has quite extended the topics or the forms of mobility that it focuses on, I think it might be worth to kind of highlight again what are the different topics and phases of this month that we're currently in, to also bring to listeners' attention, you know, what period of time might be good for you to start something in the area for, let's say, active mobility or, you know, something around innovations. So can you elaborate a bit more of the on the topics that we're doing this month?
Of course. So some of the topics that we would address this month is, so the first one is something around moving in our cities. So really understanding and bringing to the fore what the mobility ecosystem sort of looks like. How are people moving currently? Walking, cycling, informal transport. You know, what are the different ways? But also, what are the other things we need to think about in terms of accessibility, in terms of gender inclusivity, road safety? You know, how do we incorporate quality of life and health and well-being in our mobility system? So really looking at those different topics within the steam of moving in our cities. Looking at transitioning to a low carbon mobility, what does this mean in our cities? What are the narratives around it now, and how do we use this period to transition with more decarbonized transport systems? Looking at active mobility and non-motorized transport, and then also looking at the logistics that sustain our cities. I think this is quite an underrepresented topic in African cities, to understand how goods and services move within neighborhoods on the micro level and in our cities, between our cities and across the continent. So looking at those formal and informal ways. And then lastly, looking at business and innovation. What are the kinds of financial support? What are the startups that are out there? What are they doing? What are the gaps that they're finding, and how are they responding to this? And then also a key question, what does innovation look like in African cities? Is it high-tech technology, or is it also just the low-tech solutions? Using a bicycle to move goods and services to local communities, to vulnerable households, to, you know, what are the low-tech contextualized solutions that we also need to consider going forward? So those are the five topics we really want to get onto. And I think the way it's planned is that each week we will go through a different topic and have, as far as possible, resources and events and conversations and webinars that relate to these different topics to just induce the conversation a lot more.
So I was in the beginning of this podcast, I wanted to ask a sort of a provocative question. I was going to ask you guys what you think typical African mobility is. But I mean, given your answers so far already, you've made it quite clear there's no such thing as the typical African mobility, which I think is something that's true for a lot of places in this world. But I'm curious to understand your experience and your knowledge about sort of some of the common mobility challenges across African cities and countries. Are there any points or any observations you make where you say, this is definitely something, you know, that maybe also comes with the way that African cities are structured, the way that they are run, the way that people move every day in a city, the way businesses and goods move, as you just said? Are there any common themes that you would say are quite distinctive to African cities?
So I would say, and I mean, I think this also lends itself to, is there typical African mobility? And I would say that, you know, mobility in our African cities have a sprout, they sprout out of necessity, and things pop up as as people find a way to move. If there's no formal infrastructure for transportation, they'll find a way in a different way. And I think this, the thing around informality is something that African cities grapple with, and it's something that we need to have open conversations around, and we need to see how we get best, what are the gaps that they provide, the important vital roles that they provide, and how can we better support informality and not disregard it or not think of it in a negative light. So I think that's some of the themes that come out from mobility. And then I think, data systems, it's quite lacking in African cities. And I think data systems, be it understanding informal transport routes, understanding what the role that they play and how they move in cities, mapping cycling routes, how people move, how people are walking, air quality in cities, types of vehicles on the road, traffic studies, and really understanding that in terms of data, understanding mobility in terms of data, not just the formal, but also the informal. So it's really mixing qualitative and quantitative ways of knowing so that we can really understand what's happening on the ground, but also what we can map and what we can see. And then also updating, maintaining, capacitating, and financing these data and information systems for the long run, and using that as an evidence base to support future, short-term and long-term goals. And then, I think in terms of financing is quite a, understanding who are the role players, how do we collaborate to finance systems, what are the kind of business models that are contextually appropriate for sustaining mobility systems in African cities. And then also creating enabling spaces for collaboration, be it vertical and horizontal governance structures, but as well as bringing community organizations, activists, researchers, citizens into these conversations, because it does impact all of us. And I think it's really creating those spaces going forward.
So about what Jehan just described, Kirsten, how do you, from the perspective of Open Streets, how do you see these challenges and what do you do maybe to counter them or to support cities in overcoming them?
Yeah, that's a really big question. And I think, sometimes when I feel sort of overwhelmed at the gravitas of some of the challenges that we presented with in the mobility space, I always try and bring it down to two people and just what it is that people are trying to do. And the question that I always ask, I mean, regardless of which country I've had, and I've had the chance to travel in quite a number of cities across the continent. And the question that always comes to me is, why is it that you're moving? And where would you prefer to move to? And what would you prefer that experience to be? Because I think, so that the day-to-day movement patterns of people, and I think women in particular haven't been documented in a way that moves us towards creating streets for people and mobility for people. But data tends to lend itself more towards building efficiencies rather than experiences. And because public space is the street and public space is those collective spaces, regardless of the speed we move at in these spaces, it's still public space and public experience. So my question is really, why are people moving? How is that different now to pre-COVID? And how can that experience in public space be the best experience? And I feel that, in African cities, as opposed to a more Eurocentric perspective, which we often are presented with more, especially on social media. I think the question too, why is it that you're moving and how can that experience be better, really holds a lot of value for other cities in the world. Because as Johanna said, the informal economies in African cities are beautiful and diverse and incredibly intricate. And I think they hold the key to understanding better mobility experiences, because whether we move more efficiently or not, I believe that we'll be better people if we can move together, having had better experiences for it. So for me, I think in the face of these overwhelming challenges and the real intricacies of the kinds of questions that need to be asked, everything from data to financing, I think the question is, why are you moving? And for us to build a very people-centric, empathic response to that, I think is really the best step. As Open Streets, we do the best we can in that space, and I'm hoping that is a positive influence to remember that streets are for people first.
I think that's one of the groundworks to really, you know, kind of let go of the patterns that we are used in cities and allow us to kind of think beyond what we know, but sort of what do we want? I think what's important in what you mentioned also now is that, you know, how COVID changed how we can use and move in our cities. And I think especially in African countries where, like Jehan said, there's a lot of informality when it comes to transport, but also other parts of life. And I know that ICLE is doing a lot of work, of course, in this area of informal transport. So I'm wondering what your impressions have been on how COVID has affected and changed mobility and in how far cities are able, you know, to cope with the current situation, but also coming back to the issue of finance, if there are any plans or you see any visions on how cities can move beyond this current crisis mode, but kind of contain the services and activities that they do in this continued time of pandemic that we are still in.
I think the COVID pandemic is really, I mean, it's really impacted our transport systems. And I mean, you know, in terms of COVID measures and social distancing, I mean, just looking at reduced capacity in buses, and that's quite a big service that's being provided, but also how informal transport really wasn't considered in COVID regulations. And the grounding of informal transport has really impacted how and really impacted and really restricted how people are able to move in their cities. And I hope that it's showed the importance of the informal system and also just how the informal system is providing livelihoods to operators, but as well as to citizens in terms of getting to their jobs and to economic opportunities. I think people, you know, then trying to get a different mode in terms of walking and cycling, but also we need then infrastructure that supports that in that way. And I think that's there's quite a lot of that needs to be understood and then, you know, responded to that is contextual. And then looking at financial models of how it can sustain better transport systems, but also how finances can really support informal operators and in not just in terms of their operations, but also in terms of their lives and their, you know, providing enough capital, you know, leave days, pension funds, sick leave, you know, there's all these other things that informal operators require that it's not being seen, and it puts them at such huge vulnerability, I think. I think it's really just really trying to reflect and understand what's happening in our cities, who's impacted, how, and how we can respond going forward.
Kirsten, what do you think?
Sure. You know, from my side, I think the COVID pandemic and its impact on transport has been probably the most visible. If you had to look at a photo gallery of most shocking COVID photos, I think the empty streets and lack of cars and lack of mobility because of lockdown, I think will sort of resonate with people for a long time to come. But I think what the pandemic has highlighted is how integral mobility is to every other aspect of our lives in order for us to be economically viable, in order for us to have healthy families and healthy social structures. And I think that in Cape Town specifically, I think that the choice of people not to move has been limited to a very select group of people. And that group of people are, you know, people who have got jobs that can be work from home, coupled with the ability to have the technological and data capacity in order to do so. And I think it's highlighted some very real connections between mobility and lived life. And also it's pulled the curtain back on inequality. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think as mobility advocates and as city planners and, you know, people doing the work, we understand these things. But I think to make lived real experience for everybody, this understanding of the interconnectivity of things and the real inequality that is in our city, I think is absolutely critical. So I would prefer that we didn't go back to business as usual, which is sort of, you know, 6 or 7 hours of peak congestion time. You hardly knew when it wasn't peak. I'd prefer we didn't go back to that. But I'd really love for us to, as citizenry, have a chance to explore ways of moving that's more interconnected to the way that we live our lives. You know, how does school work? What time does my job really need to begin if I have to be there? You know, I think to have a healthy space for us to be able to ask these questions, because this curtain's been pulled back on how interconnected everything is, would be absolutely ideal for me. I think, you know, maybe if we did African Mobility Month again next year, maybe it wouldn't just be African Mobility Month. It'd be sort of, you know, just it would be so much more inclusive almost, because mobility is moving out of a space of being an aspect of our lives to being really integrated. And I'm really grateful that COVID has given us the chance to see that lived experience. And moving is just one part of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, and I also just wanted to mention, you mentioned the interconnectivity. And I mean, just looking at food systems, for example, and the role that mobility and distribution plays in access to food. You know, a lot of those were also stopped during because of regulation. So distribution of food was also a big problem. And so how do cities and how do communities and households sustain themselves when those vital services are being disrupted, also because they are informal? So, you know, there's a lot of those interconnected elements, but also at the micro level, how is things moving and how does mobility play a role just in sustaining people's lives?
These comments that you just made, I think, perfectly bring us back to the question of why it's important to give more visibility to the issue of mobility in our cities, how crucial it is. So I would like to let our listeners go with some of your input on how they can get involved in African Mobility Month. Where can they go to see what's happening? What can they do to partake? And how can they become part of this campaign?
So there are a host of events and virtual online engagements and events taking place throughout the month that our partners have developed. But also there are cities are also engaging and creating their own events that support the different modes of transport, support active mobility. I know that Rwanda, for example, has initiated their own African Mobility Month campaign in terms of promoting active mobility and getting citizen engagement. So Africa is launching Transport Month, and they will also have quite a number of activities that the cities will participate in. And I think the way people can really get involved is following the hashtag African Mobility Month on Twitter as well as Instagram, and also keeping an eye out on the webpage, on the African Mobility Month webpage, where we'll keep updating the events that's happening, and also just engaging in your own conversations. Pose a provocative question on Twitter under the hashtag African Mobility Month, and I think get people to engage and converse with this hashtag and have conversations around questions and promote some of the, you know, resources that are out there. And if you're, you know, if you also are wanting to host an event, under the hashtag African Mobility Month, I think everyone's welcome to get involved.
So for folks who want to get involved, I want to encourage everybody to head over to the hashtag African Mobility Month and use that to post experiences of your day-to-day traveling experiences. I think the one thing that we've learned, over the course of time, and certainly since COVID, is, you know, there's no normal way to do things anymore. And I would love to see personally what your normal looks like. So if you're listening to this podcast, take a short video clip of your trip to work or your trip to school or your trip to the store. If you're on a skateboard, then show us. If you're rollerblading, if you walk backwards, I would love to see everybody's lived experiences so we can bring that to the fore on this platform and make people's lived experiences the voice that decision makers are listening to when they decide on those 20-year plans going forward.
That's going to be fun following the hashtag from now on. I'm quite excited to see all these different moves in African cities. And for sure, from our side, we'll be sure to share the website with our listeners. Of course, like our guest said, do follow the hashtag African Mobility Month. And then I'm sure we'll hear more from the both of you throughout this month. For today, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It's been great fun, as it has been doing African Mobility Month with you. And we look forward to the continuation of this campaign.
Thanks so much for having us, Lena.
Thank you so much, Lena. Thanks, Jehan.
Thank you, Jehan, Kirsten and Lena, for these insights into the diverse activities which you are supporting. BAC truly has an impact to improve the mobility for the people in African cities. If you would like to find out more about the initiative, please follow the Twitter hashtag African Mobility Month. You will also find in the description box of this podcast. Of course, feel free to join the campaign. Hope you all enjoyed today's episode. Always, thanks for tuning in, and hear you next time.